Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 316 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
This episode is sponsored by Madison. Thanks, Madison.
Thank you, Madison.
We're mad about you, Madison.
Okay, in the best of ways.
Do you have a bell, Catherine?
No, ding, but ding, I can go ding, get ding, one. Ding,
ding, ding. No, it's right here.
I see. I mean, ding, the answer should have been, yes, I have one, but it's over there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Ooh. We almost came unplugged. All right, now we're ready officially. Today, we will be discussing part 3 of chapter 6 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Ghoul in the Pajamas. So make sure that you've read the chapter and you're ready to pajama jam your way through the details. Love a good pajama jam.
Pajama jam.
Pajama jam.
Wait, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm partial to saying pajim jams.
Yeah, pajim jams.
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
Jim jams are fine.
Pajim jams.
Does James wear Jim jams or does he wear James jams?
James jams.
James jams for sure. Is that even a question?
No, he is a James. Maybe a Jimbo. He's certainly a Jimmy Bobby sometimes. All right. It is time for the recap.
Ooh, okay. Nice.
Expecting that.
Nope.
Threw you off.
Love it. That was like almost like Michael Jackson. Yeah, thank you. All right. Poor Ron is hopeful that Moody isn't actually unalived. Spoiler, he is. Fallen warrior. More sad news. We get the full picture of what Ron and Hermione have really had to put in place to make sure that their families are protected while they go hunt Horcruxes. Ron's is more funny. He's got the ghoul in pajamas. Hermione's not so much, you know, like erasing her parents' memory for who knows how long. Permanent, maybe not permanent. I don't know. Sad, sad
all
story.
Dependent on her outcome.
Yep.
Wow.
Can I have their shrubbery?
Yes. Where are they going after the wedding? Godric's Hollow? Horcruxes? But where are they? Hermione shows...
Cunningham Court Road!
Right? Hermione shows them all of the evil books she stole, including one that tells you how to make a Horcrux. They all get scared to death by Mrs. Weasley. The burrow is in tip-top shape for the Delacour's arrival, and Mrs. Weasley plans a low-key birthday bash for Harry's 17th birthday.
Birthday bash.
Mm. Birthday mm. bash.
Mm. You're a wizarding mm. adult. Mm. Mm. Here's a watch.
Did you actually learn how to tell time, though? Is that a class at Hogwarts? Should be before that, though. Let's be honest. That's an elementary school thing.
Right.
Anywho, there's a silence in the room. Hermione is stacking books. What's new?
Right? Truly though.
This is like a low-key sweet moment though. So Hermione is like separating books. Obviously, this is the ones that we're gonna take, and these are the ones that we are going to leave. And Ron is just sitting and watching her. And I think that this moment is really sweet because I feel like, knowing what we know, he's probably really admiring her.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like her. In 7 part 1 when he's like watching her play the piano.
Yeah. Yes.
Or that might actually be 2, I'm not sure. But
no, I think it's part 1.
It doesn't
1.
Really matter.
He like pretends like he's paying attention so he can like play, but he's also not, because then like the more he screws up, the more he gets to spend time with her, and like, oh, it's so sweet.
Yeah. It is similar vibes.
Definitely.
Vibes.
And speaking of admiring, Harry is looking at them as well and admiring them. And all while he's like watching them, he's thinking about everything that they've done for him, the lengths that they have gone through to make sure that they were able to safely go with him to protect their families as well. They're both prepared and they both know the cost. And I think that he's probably, I know it's kind of weird to say, but they went through the 7 Potters and Mad-Eye died. And I feel like that's more like confirming in the fact that like they know what could happen and it's very real to them. It's not just a you might die kind of thing. Like one of them did and it was the strongest of them.
Yeah.
And so I feel like he's more comfortable with being like, all right, I'm not going to put up a fight this time. Because he has, obviously. He even did when he tried to leave that same night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like the more that he's like actually sitting with this, he realizes that, you know,
they've made their decision.
They've made their decision in Sorcerer's Stone, if we're honest.
Right.
Like, yeah.
It's been a long time coming. So meanwhile, what?
That's a Taylor Swift lyric.
That was beautiful.
It's been a long time coming.
Okay.
It was really good.
It's you and me and Hermione.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah, yeah. You sip that G&T.
I will. Anyways. Meanwhile, Molly's losing it downstairs, getting ready for company. And tell me that this is not like some of the most relatable mom stuff that you have ever read on page, because I feel like every time like I have people coming over, obviously this is a joke, but I'm like, we need this house to look like nobody lives here.
Yep.
Yep. Are the baseboards clean? Because somebody's going to look at it and judge me.
Right. Meg said the other day she saw something that said that's like online. It was like, my toxic trait is,
I want my home to look like no one lives in it.
Yeah.
But like,
sometimes
that's not realistic.
I just need that for myself.
Even like, dude, I full on relate to that. And that's just like when I have anybody coming over. Katie's aunt was supposed to come over and we cleaned the whole apartment, and then the like plans ended up changing where we were just like gonna go out to dinner. So when they picked us up, we were like, hey, thanks for making us clean our apartment.
I was like, we are vacuumed. No push.
Right,
there's no push like when my mom comes to visit.
Right.
Speaking of my mom, I wanted to share this with everybody. Every time like we would have company come over or any kind of like holiday or whatever, she would call it Operation Pickup.
So cute.
Pick up this house now. But she would like yell it. So you remember, how much? Yeah, it would be kind of like that. Operation Pickup. But in the most loving of ways.
Oh my gosh. Yep.
All right. So Ron doesn't know how weddings work, and he's like, why do they have to come early? Speaking of Fleur's family, it's like, okay. Hermione's like, you're crazy, obviously, because there's a rehearsal for this whole thing, and you know, Fleur's sister's in this wedding. Her parents, clearly they have something to do with it. It's just, he's just a silly right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Hermione's like, okay, but real deal, the real question that needs to be answered right now and the problem that needs to be solved is, where are we going when we leave Zibero? And she's like stacking books still while she's asking this question. And the author notes that she picks up Defensive Magical Theory by Wilbert Slinkhard, and that goes into the bin, the trash, right? This is Umbridge's book, you guys.
Oh, good.
Trash.
Trash.
For Hermione to trash a book? It's gotta be bad. Trash.
I'm surprised she kept it that long. But funnily enough, the next book that she picks up is An Appraisal of Magical Education in Europe. And I think that is brilliantly funny, because it's a slap in the face to Umbridge and the Ministry about their garbage choices for education in Harry's fifth year. An Appraisal of Magical Education in Europe. So funny. Like, clearly that's just, like, popped in there.
Yep.
They don't use this book any other time. And I just think it's hilarious. So, well done, author. That was clever. Very clever. Hermione knows that she knows Harry wants to go to Godric's Hollow first, but Horcrux need to be priority number one. And he's like, great. I don't know where any of them are. Otherwise, like, that's totally fine with me. But he goes on thinking, he does a lot of, like, inner thought in this. I mean, obviously all of this is inner thought because it's Harry's book. But he thinks about the fact that, like, she doesn't understand, and there's no way that she could, but she doesn't understand how strong his desire is to go and see Godric's Hollow. He feels as if it has answers for him, a feeling that he cannot explain. Are you a seer, Mr. Potter?
I mean, I always say it.
It holds answers for him, right? That's my weakest example of being a seer. But
it also holds a husk of a woman. But, you know, it's fine.
Why do you do that?
Why did the author do it?
I didn't write it. Why did you just bring a husk is what you just said?
Yeah, like corn.
Yeah, we know, like, what.
Like corn.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. God. Anyways, we're going to move past. Don't ruin corn for the internet.
That's true. I do.
It's corn.
It's corn.
Big lump of knife. It has the juice. It has the juice. Jinx, you owe me a Coke, both of you. Ah!
What? What?
Lame.
That's some Bob Shorts right there.
That's a twofer. Count it. Anyways, so he wants to go to Godric's Hollow because he feels like it's just the place to be, you know. Shout out to Zeus. Mm-hmm. Anyways, he feels like that place might hold answers for him. Absolutely correct, sir. And he wants to get a better understanding of, like, what happened, clues on how to survive. Obviously, he wants to see his parents' graves, and maybe find a Horcrux or two. You never know. Anyways. So Smarty Pants Hermione is like, it's a trap, right? Because this is not our first time, right? This is not our first time where Voldemort would be laying low for a sappy, sentimental situation. And this whole thing, him wanting to go there, would probably, in Voldemort's eyes, be viewed as a weakness. And so obviously Harry Potter would want to do this because he loves, and that's what people who are weak like that do, right? They go and they see and they feel things. And he's absolutely right in the fact that he thinks that it would probably be an easy trap to set. And he does. He sets that trap with corn husks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then she turns to popcorn. That's Nagini.
That's awful.
That is. I don't know why I laughed.
What else do you do in a time like this?
You know, you're right.
And so Harry's like, never thought of that before, that it could be a trap.
That's so Harry.
But he only set a trap for Sirius and Sirius died. Like, we're not remembering these things, sir.
Of course not.
Right. Do we not have triggers or trauma from these things?
Oh, I think his desire to go there outweighs absolutely every other reason not to.
Probably.
And you know what? I cannot knock him for that feeling.
Nah.
You can't.
No, totally.
I mean, obviously, as an outside person of a situation like this, we can say, obviously in a fictional series, but we can say, you know, ah, stupid or whatever. But like, until you are going through that, you have no idea.
Yeah.
You know? And so he's like trying to come up with a counter argument. And Ron is in completely his own brain, thinking his own things. He's not at all involved in their conversation. And he's like, what about RAB?
What about that Rab?
Oh, man.
And he's like, RAB was like, I'm going to destroy that locket, right? And so Harry pulls it out and says, I have stolen the real Horcrux and intend to destroy it as soon as I can. That's only part of what the note said. And they're like, Hermione goes, yeah, but we don't know if he actually did that. We're going to have to find the Horcrux, track the trail, and make sure that that was actually done, or do that ourselves. Can't rely on chance with this. There's no way, because this is the only way to defeat him. So they have to figure it out. And it's good that she says this, and it's good that they do this, because, you know, Regulus died before he could make good on his word.
Yeah. I just, like, sometimes I think about, obviously, we know this is a work of fiction, but, like, I think about how these three people were tasked with something and given just absolutely no direction. And I'm like, where do you even think to start?
Do you know how mad I got today because I lost my keys?
Right?
And I knew they were within the vicinity of me.
Right?
These are just pieces of this soul like out in the world.
Three letters that are, you know, an acronym for a name. And I have no idea who he is, she is, where they could be, if they're alive or dead. How does one even begin?
Okay. To counter that, Harry, I mean, we can say all we want about the lack of information that Dumbledore gave.
Here comes the Dumble Defender. Get it, Tiff?
Hello. But aside from Harry Potter, his guess at Harry Potter being a Horcrux, he gave him the information that he had at that time.
I know.
And I say this in the next episode, I think. Might I add, for everybody like, he did not intend to die on the tower that night.
Right.
He intended to use the Sword of Gryffindor to destroy the locket to show Harry how to do that. So I don't need anybody coming up to me on the street, like Billy in the street, and saying, but Dumbledore, no, he was going to show him that. He just, you know, met his maker first.
Oh,
do you think that Dumbledore would have known who RAB was immediately?
I mean, I think he probably could have put the dots together, only because he's just so brilliant in the way that he figures out these puzzles, and he would probably think, well, the only person that might be even close to this would be a Death Eater. Let's run the list of who was Death Eaters at this time. What are your initials? Bing, bam, boom, yada, yada, yada. Regulus, Arcturus Black.
Meanwhile, Harry's pulling out like the phone book.
Well, like, that's the one that is just like, so, I mean, obviously they get lucky, right? Like, I think that they just get lucky in figuring it out. They happen to decide to go to Grimmauld Place. They decide to look through the rooms. They find the initial, like, obviously it's good that the things that happened the way that they did, but like,
well, yeah. And I think that I love the idea that fate plays roles in things. And so, like, he has the power to vanquish the Dark Lord. Well, he right. has all these connections yeah. that set him up for that success. Like, I love the idea of fate. And, like,
yeah.
you have this start point and this end point. Like, the... Well, I guess... I mean, to be honest, Voldemort set up the end where he was going to lose anyway. Dude's a nut. He was never... monologues aside, like, he was never going to do this. Because he was so weak in other areas.
Yeah.
You know sure. what I mean?
Yeah,
totally.
And people who hold that kind of a power are always going to be... There's going to be a mutiny of some kind somewhere, someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all the leaders throughout history. There's going to be people. If you're a baddie, people are going to stand up and fight back.
Yeah.
And eventually, you're going to get got. So, I love the idea of endpoints, but whatever's in the middle is kind of like what you make it to be, and fate kind of leads a hand in giving you these supports.
Right.
I don't know. That's the way my brain thinks. Is that necessarily like what this is? No, but the author never said otherwise, so I can say whatever I want.
I like it.
Yeah,
valid. I like it.
Because, like, I mean, he has the power to vanquish the Dark Lord. Well, what does power mean? Power comes with connections. He is connected to the Black family.
Yeah.
He was there at Grimmauld Place. This is there. You know what I mean? Like, I like mm-hmm. that. That feels yeah. cool to me.
Yeah, totally.
It makes me feel like fate's like, I want to shake hands with the hero. We're going to get this done. It might yeah. be messy.
Shake a poor... Wait. What is it?
Sinner's
hand.
Is that Who's It's and What's It's?
It's from Princess and the Frog.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, okay. Who's It's and What's It's.
See his face.
Yeah. That one movie with those one people. What the heck did I just say?
The Shadow Man.
Yeah.
What's the lightning bug's name?
Ray.
My sister loves Ray.
Yeah, Ray's pretty great.
Ray and Evangeline.
As you can imagine.
I don't know. This was just one of those moments where, like, I, like, really, like, thought for a moment and was like, dang. Like, what an undertaking they're taking on. You know what I mean? It's huge. And the fact that they do it, it's, like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In my head, I'd be like, what if he hid a Horcrux in Japan? You know, like, are we ever gonna, like, or like, did he spread it to all the far corners of the world? Yeah, for real though, you know, I wouldn't know where to start.
That sounded so nasally. Let's get on a plane. Oh man, anywho, where are we talking about Horcruxes, finding it and destroying it? We got to make sure it's destroyed. More questions than answers when it comes to Horcruxes. Am I right? And so, as we've previously discussed, talked about this. Oh, I said it in this episode. Dumbledore definitely intended. I mean, it's not. He intended to show Harry how to destroy it using the Sword of Gryffindor. Blah, blah, blah. And then this whole thing, all these questions that aren't answered, becomes a point of anger and hurt for Harry, because he feels so incredibly lost. But, like, I wish that they would have thought about it, especially Ron and Hermione, in the way that Dumbledore told them as much as he knew without Harry Potter. And that he could. Like, he literally did everything that he could. And yeah, he's on borrowed time. He's dying. But it is what it is. You know, he yeah. waited until he could actually demonstrate and show him. Could he have told him earlier, this is what I used to destroy the ring? Yeah. But maybe he's just not that kind of teacher.
You know, I mean.
Yeah, for sure.
Of course he could have, but. It just didn't get to it.
Yeah. I mean, that's life sometimes.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So luckily for them, Hermione has been doing some research so they can feel like they have like kind of a little bit of a footing. And you know, I don't know why I wrote this, probably because I was thinking about books. But as Megan would say, library schmibery. She stole these books.
You stole fizzy lifting drink.
Okay. She stole these.
You lose.
Good day, sir.
She's like, well, you know, Dumbledore didn't exactly destroy the books. And in the name of Merlin's pants, we steal these books, folks, right?
Yeah.
Even though, according to Hermione, it wasn't stealing, it's borrowing.
She'll give them back.
She don't want them.
Honestly, I wrote she probably does return them to McGonagall after the Battle of Hogwarts at some point because her heart just can't take it.
I was going to say either that or she like puts them in the ministry because they're like bad.
Ew,
like,
don't give it to them.
But yeah, I don't know.
They're gross. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't like them. They're gross. I feel like they get like a little bit better, but like not so much.
Yeah. I don't know. They need to like be somewhere where definitely no hands touch them again. You know what I mean?
Until Hermione's in charge. Yeah, they definitely don't go back into the library, but I feel like they're just like those pieces of like history that are disgusting, but need to be kept for history's sake. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And she's like, it's not that hard. All I did was like a Accio books and, you know, there they were right in her dorm. And it's a genius move. And so she's like, we're going to need all the information. We got to make this happen. And she did all of this right after Dumbledore's funeral, and they had agreed not to come back to Hogwarts. And honestly, Ron and Hermione were both serious about doing this and helping Harry since, you know, year one. And she goes on. She keeps trying to defend herself because she doesn't want to feel like she stole things. She's like, I don't think Dumbledore would be very angry about it. And I feel like he would be like, brilliant. Thank you. I anticipated you doing this. He probably put little bookmarks in the pages for her and be like, she would like this one. Ron's like, we get it. It's fine. No one cares that you took these books. And he's like, well, what do you got? And so she digs out the books and she is super grossed out and she's holding one of them. So let's hear about it.
All right. So she's holding out Secrets of the Darkest Art. And this is the book that has the explicit instructions on how to make a Horcrux. So what we know about it from the wiki is that it was a tome. That's how old it is. That it's called a tome written by Owl Bullock, possibly of medieval origin.
What's a tome?
It's like what people called books before they called them books.
How did we get from A to
A
B?
Large book. A large.
I'm going to try and look that up.
Yeah, I always assumed it was like, because they used that term in... They use that term in like ACOTAR too, don't they? Tome?
A tome is a large book.
So it's like a big book in kindergarten where they're gigantic.
Tome is often used to refer to a book that is not only really large, but also unusually important.
Okay. I like
so,
that.
So, like, yeah. what are we talking about size here? Are we talking about, are the illustrated editions tomes?
I think bigger than that.
Yeah, bigger than that.
Jeez. I think bigger than that.
I'm going to look up like, world's biggest book.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Tome is used in Fourth Wing and Iron Flame. Like, yeah, like full-on encyclopedia size. So it discusses the dark arts. It's the only known source of written instructions on the creation and destruction of a Horcrux. And it was a large volume bound in faded black leather. It contained a large archive of evil magic, which is what made Hermione say that it is so awful. And it was the only known document that contained detailed information on Horcruxes, including the process to create them, the consequences it would have on the creator's soul, and that only by remorse could the soul be repaired, a process that was so painful it could be fatal. As creating Horcruxes were originally meant to be a singular act, this book did not contain information on any individual creating multiple Horcruxes, hence why Voldemort then went to ask Slughorn about making multiples. Because this is just kind of creepy to me to think about the fact that, like, Voldemort read this exact book. He had this exact book that's in Hermione's hands, and that was what taught him how to make a Horcrux.
Ew.
And
these hannies.
Oh, it's gross.
These hannies hold this book. These hannies. These hannies will murder.
I'm picturing this book like.
It like gives me chills.
Yeah. It makes me like want. I don't want it to be this way, but you know how like Winnie Sanderson's book is supposed to be like made out of the skin of her enemies or whatever. Like, yeah. I feel like that's how gross this book is.
Yeah, like, dude, every time I see people like replicating that book at, like, I know. You know, there was a ton of them like at Kent, there was some this weekend at Ironton. I could never own it. I know it's leather or pleather. I'm sorry.
I just would always
it's human
think,
skin and I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
Gross.
Also thinking about like what that book talks about, like, okay, it talks about creating them, it talks about the damage it does to one's soul, and it talks about how undoing that is so painful that it could kill the person.
Yeah.
Is mind-blowing to me that that book is at all accessible to children at school. Like, yeah, I know that it was in the restricted section, but think about how easy it was for Hermione to get her hands on most potent potions in her second year. Like, she's not the only one to have done something like that either. I'm sure of it.
Right.
Like, yes, yeah. It's in the restricted section. Yes, it's supposedly harder to get and only for, like, the older kids, but always? No. Like, it was so easy to potentially go and get. Like, that's crazy. Anyway, Hermione mentions how she, like, just cannot grasp how he made six because the book talks about how unstable your soul gets after making just one. And Ron asks a lot of really good questions coming up right here. He goes, so how does it say to destroy, or so does it say how to destroy Horcruxes in that book? And this is an excerpt from the book. Yes, said Hermione, now turning the fragile pages as if examining rotting entrails. Because it warns.
What a description.
Right? Because it warns dark wizards how strong they have to make the enchantments on them. From all that I've read, what Harry did to Riddle's diary was one of the few really foolproof ways of destroying a Horcrux. What, stabbing it with a basilisk fang? Asked Harry. And then she goes on to talk how it has to be something so destructive that the Horcrux can't repair itself. Basilisk venom only has one antidote, and that antidote is incredibly rare. We know that that is Phoenix Tears. So because the antidote is so rare, that makes basilisk venom one of the only, like, one of the very few foolproof ways to destroy a Horcrux. It has to be something so destructive that the Horcrux can't repair itself. Basilisk venom only... I just read that. Sorry. I copy-pasted that twice. So Ron then asks why the bit of soul can't just go live in something else. And this is like, this was a really interesting description. So Hermione talks about how a Horcrux is basically the complete opposite of a human being, whereas our soul as a human being is not dependent on our bodies. So she explains, if someone were to walk up to you and kill you with a sword and you die, your body dies.
Sword.
Your body dies, but your soul does not. However, when it's a Horcrux, the soul is dependent on its container. So the fragment of the soul is dependent on its container and it cannot exist outside of it. And that's when Harry starts to think, he remembers how the diary, like, actually died. Kind of died. Yeah, when he stabbed it. Like, it started bleeding from the punctures of the
ink.
Yeah.
Aww, and it's, you guys made me ink.
What if it said that?
Oh, you guys made me ink. And it was screaming. And then Ron asks more questions. He goes, well, how could that soul possess Ginny? Like, how could it leave its container and possess Ginny? And Hermione explains that as long as the magical container is still intact, the bit of soul inside it can flit in and out of someone if they get too close to the object. I don't mean holding it for too long. It's nothing to do with touching it, she added before Ron could speak. I mean close emotionally. Ginny poured her heart out into that diary. She made herself incredibly vulnerable. You're in trouble if you get too fond of or dependent on the Horcrux. So I think that this is kind of setting us up for what to expect. I know that this does kind of go against what happens with them. It really does, like, affect them, even though they're not necessarily close to it emotionally, the locket when they're wearing it. But I think that this is, like, a good description to be, like, as long as the magical container's intact, the soul can flit in and out if someone gets too close to the object. That does somewhat happen.
Do you know what's interesting?
Yes.
And I just thought of this because, like, the ring sickened his hand, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like the power behind them each work a little different, and we only get to see a couple of instances of that. Like, and the locket, like, the locket's purposes are for you to have, like, things that you love within them, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's the official, like, meaning of a locket? I always assumed you put pictures of people that you love inside of it. And so, like, that felt very much the way it used that against the person who was wearing it. You know what I mean? Like, they became very emotionally attached to it.
Yeah.
Because that lockets in themselves are meant to be, like, emotional.
Keepsakes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The ring, obviously.
Because we don't...
You're cursed now.
Like, we don't have an opportunity to see anything happen with the cup or the diadem. Like, they don't hold those objects long enough to know any sort of, like, reaction to it. You know what I mean? It's really just the locket that they hold on to for that long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. So it's just, like, it's interesting how that's described, and then it does, like, sort of happen a little differently. But I like your explanation. T-funny.
Oh, well, thank you.
So then Harry is remembering that, like, he should have asked Dumbledore how he destroyed the ring. And then he's like, you know, among many other things, I should have asked Dumbledore. But again, I say, like, hindsight's 20/20. You obviously had no idea how much time you had with Dumbledore. There's no way that you would have known what you should or shouldn't have asked him when. Like, it unfortunately just happened the way that it did.
Yeah.
However, after all of these things are discussed, their meeting is interrupted quite suddenly by the bedroom door flying open.
Bam!
And, like, literally, I think that it's described that, like, Ron, like, falls off the bed and so Hermione, good. Like, throws the book that she has. And Mrs. Weasley's hair was disheveled and her face,
I love this,
was contorted with rage.
Yes.
Yikes. I'm so sorry to break up this cozy little gathering. She mad.
Oh, my goodness.
She's so mad. One, she's mad because there really are a lot of preparations to be done. And as we discussed earlier, she's in the stage where it needs to look like no one lives in her house, right? And normally, like, many people live in the house over the summer.
Operation Pickup, Catherine.
Operation Pickup, yes. Correct. And two, she's probably really upset that they got time to be together for who knows how long, right? Because she's been trying to keep them apart. She's trying to be protective. So she tells them that, like, she's sure they need their rest, but there's lots of preparations to get done, and didn't they agree to help? There's wedding presents stacked in her room that need to be sorted out. Hermione looks terrified as she jumps up, books flying, throws out an apology, and hurries out of the room with her. Ron complains that it's like being a house elf. Ron, come on. The Delacours arrive the next morning, and Ron, Hermione, and Ginny are pretty resentful towards the Delacour family by this time because they've been, like, put through it by Mrs. Weasley. Down to that morning, she made Ron put on matching socks, and he was very upset about that. And Harry was...
Why does that matter? Oh, my God. I hate wearing matching socks. I hate wearing socks.
I love socks.
Socks are horrid.
I love socks.
James took mine off. And you know what he said to me tonight? He took them off and he goes, yuck. I was like,
what do you mean, yuck?
And I think that Marty does that because, like, James will, like, pick up the socks and give them to Fozzie, and Marty's like, yuck, yuck, yuck. So
James is like, yuck, yuck. I know, like, a good stocking stuffers, like those cute little $3 socks from Target. But Meg doesn't like socks, so I can't get them for her.
I hate it.
I hate cold socks. Feet.
No, just give me a blanket.
Nope, yeah, doesn't work.
I want a blanket.
Doesn't work. My feet can be wrapped in a blanket and will still be ice.
I want a hoodie, shorts, and a blanket.
Yep.
I do like a hoodie and shorts. That was most of my day today.
Nice.
Anyway. Okay, and Harry was trying to flatten his hair. That never ever happens.
Like, why do we try?
I don't know. And then they are finally all deemed smart enough and looking good enough to go outside and wait for their guests to arrive. So the Burrow is super tidied up. It's so funny that you said what you said, Tiffany, because I literally put that in my notes too. Like, it's like when I know I'm having company over and suddenly, like, everything needs to be spotless.
You literally said, I need to make it look like no one lives in my apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess we all feel this way.
Yeah. Like, I got to vacuum. I got to dust. I got to do everything. So, like, we know what the Burrow looks like in our mind, right? So Harry's going through all of the, like, telltale normal things that have always been described, like the rusty cauldron and the old Wellington boots that are always on the back steps. Those are gone. There's two new flutterby bushes, which I pulled a wiki for that, which I'll talk about in a minute. The chickens are shut away. The yard is swept. Not really sure what that means.
Probably, like, raked.
I guess, but it's, like, summer. I don't know.
Well, maybe you mow the grass and you got to rake the grass.
Okay, okay, fair, okay.
And I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just saying things that might make sense.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And the garden is all spruced up, and Harry comments that to himself that he likes it better overgrown and with the gnomes. That's probably, like, a really nice memory for him because that was the first time he got to visit, like, a friend's house, and it felt like home, and it had to be nice.
Just, like, rethinking about the yard swept. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if it's...
I'm wondering if it's
because... like, they have kind of, like, a farm setting. So maybe it's to, like, sweep certain things out of, like, pens.
Poop. Just say poop.
Poop.
I was actually thinking different feed. Like, chicken different feed. Animal feeds. Like, making sure that, like, it's all nice and swept in its containers where it's meant to be. But also, it probably just means raked.
What I'm getting is I like Georgia. Both.
In the Southern UK, traditions. Do they call raking sweeping?
Yeah, I want to know.
Sweep the yard to clean or clear a space with a brush or a broom.
Broom. There it is. Wait. I thought you said rake.
repeated broom.
I know. Broom. Done.
I'm tired.
Oh, my God.
The Flutterby bush. Flutterby? Flutterby.
The Flutterby bush was a magical plant that quivered and shook. Harry describes it as, like, looking like, even though there's no breeze, it looks like a gentle breeze is going. So it kind of, like,
is there butterflies looks on nice. It?
No, I don't think so. It produces flowers once a century that adapted their scent to attract the unwary.
Ooh.
Ooh. Mm. I would have think that the etymology is fun, but it just says flutterby is a childish way of saying butterfly.
Cute.
Contrary to popular belief, it isn't an old name for the insect.
Huh.
Is this on the list or is it cleared?
Yeah. What's the verdict here?
What, my list?
Yeah.
You are the only one with a list.
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
No, it passes.
It's fine.
I don't have a lot of issues with many bushes, you know what I mean?
So that's all I really have on the flutterby bush. Too bad, so sad.
Too sad.
Okay. It's no longer possible to travel directly to the burrow with magic because there's so many security enchantments from the Order and the Ministry. That was confusing to me because, like, to the Order, the Ministry's basically already, like, taken over. And, like, at least untrustworthy.
Yeah, well,
I don't, unless
no,
it's like,
not fully yet, because it hasn't fallen. And that's why they get through it during the wedding, because during the wedding, the Ministry falls and then they can come into the burrow. So, well, the Ministry has not fallen yet, but they know that it's infiltrated, but it's not fallen yet. You know what I mean?
Is it fallen yet, Megan?
It's not fallen yet.
But it just seems like it's untrustworthy. I'd like want it to just be the Order knowing.
Well, sure. But obviously those protections did something if it took, you know, the Ministry falling to get them to be able to come into the burrow.
The Ministry is falling down.
Know what I mean? Jelly bean.
Ministry is falling down. They are coming.
What's that song for, though? I obviously know it's London Bridges. But isn't that London for, like, the war?
Something.
Yeah.
God, Katie.
A lot of those songs are, like, really not okay. And anytime I, like, have one in my head, I'm like, nope, don't ever do that again. No. Anyway, so because of these enchantments, Mr. Weasley has to meet the Delacours on a hilltop nearby where they're going to arrive by Porky. Kind of reminds me of the Quidditch World Cup. Shout out to Four. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you think
their
port key
casually
was?
Casually run their way down onto the ground like Cedric.
Like Edward Cullen?
I can't stand that.
Like Edward.
Yeah. It's got to be something fancy.
Yeah. Is it like, a piece of trash or is it something actually
not for the Delacours.
The Delacours.
Fine china.
Right.
A teacup.
And what announces their arrival? A very unusual high-pitched laugh that came from Mr. Weasley. He's a little nervous. Meg, thank you for sending that because I was going to, but I'm like actively talking right now. By the way, I sent that to Jess and she goes, is that your tree? And I said, I wish.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Ugh.
Katie, you lost two. Megan, that was the most evil laugh.
I really need those action figures of Bella and Edward, but they're so expensive.
What? No.
I know, because they're not made anymore.
Boo.
Boo-hoo.
Don't worry, I'm going to keep looking. There's got to be knockoffs or something.
True.
Blake!
Bingo.
Bingo.
Blake, coming in. Ha!
Okay. So, Madame Delacour, how do you say her first name? Apolline?
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 That's what Jim Dale says.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's described as this beautiful blonde woman with long leaf green robes. The author is less kind to Monsieur Delacour. He's described as nowhere near as attractive as his wife. A head shorter.
So mean.
Extremely plump. Little
of
pointed
course,
black beard.
Not attractive.
Is this whole hot wife with ugly rich dude shtick?
Probs.
I don't know. So he is described, both of them later are described as pleasant guests. So like they're not in any way that I can see a villain in the author's eyes.
But it is a common thing between the English and the French to not like each other.
True.
Hence why a lot of these French stereotypes, I think, with like Ginny and Hermione hating Fleur and blah blah blah.
Auntie Muriel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still French.
Plays into the something plays into the just the rivalry.
The rivalry, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know if it was that, if it was, you know, the usual thing the author puts in here, or if it's like an extra point out that Madame Delacour has some Vila blood in her, because that's where Fleur gets it from. I think it's actually her grandmother, but like it would still travel down.
If you watched Parks and Rec, it's the Jerry, Gary, Larry, Gergich, and wife vibes.
Over my head. Over my head.
I've never watched it yet.
Oh, God. Parks and Rec is, it's so good.
We have the DVDs.
It's so good. It just, it's a good, you know how New Girl just will like make you feel good? Yeah. That's what Parks and Rec does.
All right. That's a good endorsement.
We will get there, I promise.
Yeah. So, of course, like, kisses on cheeks are exchanged.
T-swift.
Yep. Monsieur Delacour tells them that he is most honored at the approaching union of our two families. I thought that was very sweet. And Madame Delacour tells Mrs. Weasley that Mr. Weasley was telling them such amusing stories on the way over here. And Mr. Weasley gives a maniacal laugh.
Do then, your best.
I don't even know. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's
that was
it.
So good.
He gets a look from his wife, immediately went silent.
She's probably like, stop it, you're embarrassing me.
I know, right? Don't embarrass me, Fillmore.
Don't embarrass me in front of all my friends.
His face is described as instantly looking like the face that someone would adopt next to their friend's sickbed. So I can see him be like, ha ha.
yeah totally. You know, wish the internet could have seen.
You're welcome.
Someday we'll get video off you guys, I swear.
Someday. Gabrielle is there too, described as Fleur's miniature. She's 11 now. I wonder if that's the same age for Bobaton. And she's batting her eyelashes at Harry, and Ginny is not pleased.
Oh my God.
She's 11. Get over it. She is 11.
Right.
You should be like, Ginny, you were her at one point, okay?
Right.
Honestly.
You can even be the same room as me,
Ginny. Katie.
You can't sit with us.
11.
11. Thank you. We listened to a bunch of that music in the car today with Evie.
She was quite small
mm-hmm.
when she was taken by the mirror peeps.
What, like wow. eight, right? Wasn't she
I mean,
like
she
eight?
Was technically like given to them.
Right. Or was I? Mrs. Weasley tells them to come in. And I like how it's described as there were many no pleases and after yous and not at alls.
Yeah.
It's just like the in-laws meeting the in-laws and I guess the parents meeting the parents, but kind of the same difference. So it turns out that they are helpful and pleasant guests. They're happy to help with the wedding preparations. Monsieur Delacour says everything is, can you say that word in French for me? It means charming.
Charmant.
Yeah, thank you. Charmant. And that's everything from the seating plan to the bridesmaid shoes. So he's just like pleasant about it all, which I really appreciate because he could have come in and been like, you know, like a stereotypical parent meeting the parent in a movie somewhere where they're just very unpleasant, nothing's good enough, which maybe is what they're expecting because Fleur is like that. I feel like that's who Mrs. Weasley would think Fleur's family is like,
yeah,
too uppity, not good enough. That's why she's like literally like, you know, cleaning the dirt outside. Like, everything's got to be perfect. So the burrow is not built for this many people, which kind of makes me laugh because, like, the Weasleys are a family of 9, right? Yeah. So, like, it's built for a large amount of people, but squeezing even more people in, it's just, like, it's full to bursting. Everyone's sleeping in odd arrangements. Like, Mr. and Mrs. Weasley are sleeping in the living room now. And the trio volunteered to feed the chickens just to get out of the house. But, of course, Mrs. Weasley appears outside with laundry, and Ron's like, she still won't leave us alone. But she looks so exhausted, and I feel really bad because she's got to be exhausted from preparing a wedding, the stress of all the security, the stress of the war, being in the order, her family being in the order, and also going to the ministry every day for work. Her son is estranged at the moment, and she's worried about Harry and Ron and Hermione. But obviously Harry, because he's got the big portrait on the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also the fact that with Harry means Ron is also leaving.
Right. Right. Even the people that are putting up the tent, which we get a name for that company. It's Millamont's Magic Marquees, which I thought was kind of cute. Even they need to be escorted in because of the protections. And she tells, she's like, Harry, well, you should probably stay inside where they're, while they are here. Quote, I must say it does complicate organizing a wedding, having all these security spells around the place. And Harry goes, I'm sorry. And like, that's not what she meant at all.
I don't.
Yeah, she's just talking out loud.
Right.
But they would have.
Well, that's what talking is. I meant.
They would have protections even if Harry wasn't there, I would think.
I would think so as well.
Yeah. It's not just because of Harry. It's because of the war.
Yeah. And the Weasleys have always had, like, for the bad guys, like a mark on their family because they're totally. Muggle lovers. Yeah. You know?
Mm. Muggle lovers.
Muggle lovers.
Known to have connections with undesirable number one.
Right. So, again, she immediately tells him, like, no, like, that's not what I meant at all. And then she brings up his birthday, and he's like, I don't want to fuss. Like, it's the night before the wedding. Just a dinner is fine. And she says that she'll invite Remus, Tonks, and Hagrid. She's still trying to do her little matchmaking between Remus and Tonks. And Harry says, that'd be great, but please don't go to loads of trouble. And she says, not at all, not at all. It's no trouble. And she gives him this, like, searching look and smiles a little sad and walks away. And Harry, being Harry, has, like, this wave of remorse because he's putting her in pain and inconvenience. And Harry, just stop, okay? She loves you. Let her love you.
Also, sorry, Harry, it's not all just about you, okay? It's about her own family.
The world revolves around Harry. What are you talking about?
It's about me, actually. So, just
all right. Some lightning bolt questions. Sam asks, do you have any places where you've gone to get answers, like Harry and Godric's Hollow?
Answers to what?
I guess maybe, like, do you have like any, like, deep connection to a place like Harry and Godric's, you know what I mean?
I guess, like, the house I grew up in, which is why you'll find me smelling tomatoes on the vine. That's what was, like, my backyard. I had James smell them the other night because I buy these cherry tomatoes on the vine from Aldi. By the way, Aldi slaps. If you don't shop there, you're missing out. And he was like, mmm. And I was like, yeah, that's mom's backyard when I was a kid. Maybe that place.
I made a mistake. Remus and Tonks are married in this book.
I was going to just let it roll.
I forgot where I was. I
didn't even hear you. My bad.
No, it's all good.
Aldi does have great pizza. Megan and I just had some last week.
It was so good. Mm-hmm. I'm partial to their mac and cheese pizza when they have it in stock, but it's been a few months. They should probably restock that for me.
They got married off page right before summer. They went and picked up Harry.
Battle of the Seven Potters.
Yeah, because she wiggles her finger and is like, eh. Yeah. And he's like, you got married. And she's like, I'm sorry, you couldn't be there.
I was stuck in six, I guess.
No sweat.
Yeah.
Katie, maybe I didn't even hear you say it, so if that makes you feel any better.
Cool. Never happened.
Yep.
I can't think of something.
Disney World. I don't know.
Disney World has a feeling, though.
Yeah, for real. Like it's just it so nostalgic.
Honestly,
are we talking about that or like talking about somewhere that like you try to like seek something from?
There's nowhere I seek.
I mean, I honestly would say Disney because like I gave it a chance to like go down and live there and think that like that would make me feel.
Florida really hard on you though, and you had to leave.
Yeah.
Florida did Florida hard.
But you found out.
Yeah.
It's better to know than to sit there and wonder.
Yeah. You know? It was a marvelous time.
Yeah.
I'd be miserable. Ruining everything. If that happened.
Gil, what would have happened if the note wasn't in the locket and they had no information? They would think that that was the real one. But then I bet they would go to destroy it and whenever, like, nothing crazy.
Harry knew something was wrong, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. If the feeling he has, is it because he is a Horcrux? He knows Horcruxes like that? Does Dumbledore know that things are Horcruxes just based on his knowledge and information and his study? You know what I mean? But, like, Harry immediately knew it wasn't right.
Yeah.
As soon as he pulled it out of his pocket.
Pocket.
I read what Gil wrote, and then I said Pockrix.
Okay, last one. Dusty Fur.
Yes, Gray. Yes.
Do you think if Harry had the diary the entire time, Voldemort would have been able to possess him?
Maybe. I mean, if he got close
to
it.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I don't know if he would be compelled to write everything in there. He doesn't seem like a diary kind of guy. Ginny poured herself into it, which is why that happened with her.
I do think that, like, he could have, though.
Just by proximity?
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
I don't know.
That's what the locket did. Why not?
Right.
We don't know otherwise.
Yeah. All right, give me the fan story, Kate.
Okay. This fan story comes from Corbin.
That's a really cool name.
Mm-hmm. It was sent March 2022. Trigger warning for cancer. Mm. Hi, Swishers. I just wanted to start off by saying I love this podcast. I came to Harry Potter a little late. I owned the first three books when I was a kid and didn't dislike them, but for some reason I can't explain, I never finished Prisoner of Azkaban.
What? Corbin, my heart.
Fast forward about 12 years. You did your waiting.
12 years of it.
12 years of it.
Not finishing Prisoner of Azkaban.
Right? I feel like that was fate, that you waited 12 years.
Indeed.
My girlfriend at the time, now wife, was a huge Potter fan, so I decided to give the books another try. I fell in love, and it became my favorite book series. We are both now huge Potterheads. We are both currently rereading the series and have been listening along to the podcast. I'm a Hufflepuff, by the way. Shout out to Katie. Hey! Also, Ilvermorny is right by where I grew up. Okay, where is the secret location? Please send me the coordinates.
Remember Ilvermorny?
Right. Last year I was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer. I am now in remission, but it's been hard not to think about the inevitability of death. The way Harry faced death in the series has really made me handle everything better, and it's really helped to have someone to look to who is always facing difficult times. I have to be evaluated every 3 months, and of course waiting for my next appointment is very stressful. But your podcast has really helped me take my mind off things and brought a lot of happiness into my life. Thank you for all that you do. Best, Corbin.
Corbin, ugh. I'm so happy that you are in remission.
Same. And I'm so happy that after 12 years, you picked up that series again.
What was that?
Teddy Theodore. Being Teddy.
Oh, Teddy. Anyways, Corbin, thank you. And you know what? They're rereading and listening with us. How many of everybody is actually doing the reading? Because I tell you all to make sure that you read. And I feel like some people aren't doing their homework. Blake, ooh, you're a gem. Thank you for Corbin reading with us.
Called of course, Blake. Out.
Gold star, Blake. Top pupil. Thank you.
Why? Because she's a Gryffindor?
Yes. And doing what she's supposed to do. Rebecca, awesome. Tasha, okay, I already know you do it. We know. You're amazing.
Steph.
Wow, it. More people than I expected.
Okay, Katie K. No. That's not what I ask you to do. Janine, how Ravenclaw is that response, ma'am?
I'm not doing my homework. I know the material already.
Oh, you so guys are funny.
Well, Corbin, I'm really glad that you found us.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that this is like, this is a project with you and your wife that yes. you get to read and listen.
Yeah, that's super cool. And thank you for your kind words.
Shout out to your wife for bringing you back.
Yeah.
To the Potter.
All right, you guys ready for a joke?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When I say that a griffin is partially a bird, it's only half lion.
Oh, that's good.
That was actually like really funny.
That's good.
Thanks,
that's
I didn't write it myself.
You did not write it yourself.
Nope, it came from Rackish Jokes and Ricky oh my god, Ridiculous Riddles for Ravenclaw.
Well, if after that joke you'd like to follow myself and my wife Katie on Instagram and TikTok, we're over there at my Petrus family. And Tiff's on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_flick.
I love that Katie gets a my wife and I'm just like, and that person on the other end, Tiffany.
Who I don't my really second wife, care about. Tiffany.
Tiffany can be your work wife.
Yeah.
I am your work wife.
Yeah. Was it Blake that got bingo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gryffindor.
Congrats, Blake. Gryffindor got bingo.
Beep, 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 beep.
And let's see where the House Cup standings are.
Lions, 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 lions.
Ravenclaw. It's close. Why Ravenclaw is still in first. Gryffindor, Hufflepuff, and Slytherin.
Oh, yeah. Dude, Friday. We have Trivia Friday for people who are listening in the future. That's going to mess stuff up. So yeah. I need Gryffindors to show up because I cannot be having all of this.
It's going down. I'm yelling trivia.
I just got a flashback to cheese curds.
A flatback.
I can't. We
cheese curds.
Do you know what? I want to do something for this episode.
Yeah.
Because cancer sucks.
Yeah.
And Corbin, this episode is for you. Keep fighting that fight, and we are here for you.
Yes.
So that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing! Jump in my voice!
Do you know what's funny?
Slap quack.
I, after I watched Mrs. Doubtfire, I thought about that. I was like, that's the best job! I should do that. I don't know how people do that. How do you get into that?
I don't know.
You be a voice actor.
Do you just like perform all your voices and record them and send them out?
Probably.
I don't know.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.